name. It's really wonderful to be back here in Los Angeles. I remember sitting here when Prabhupada was here, sitting at Prabhupada's lotus feet here in New Dwarka. Prabhupada's still here, actually. So nice to be back here with Prabhupada in New Dwarka. So today we're reading from 10th Canto, Chapter 13, Text Number 62, Srimad Bhagavatam. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Vidishtva Tvarena Nija Dharanato Vatirya Pritsvyang Vapu Kanaka Dandham Ivavipatya Strishtva Chatur Mukuta Kotibir Angri Yugmang Natva Mud Ashru Shujalair Akrita Bishekam Drishvatvarena Nijatar Natavayatatirya. Pritvang Vapukanaka Dandam Eva Bipatya. Frishtvachatur Mukutokoti Birangri Yugmam. Natva Madashu Shujalai Rakita Bishekam. Drishtvat Favrena Nijadora Natovatirya. Pritvang Vapukanaka Dandam Eva Bipatya. Srishtvat Chatur Mukutokoti Birangi Yugmam. Natva Madashu Chujalai Ragrita Bikesham. Drishtvat Varena Nidadara Natovatirya. Prithivang Vapuka Nakadanda Mivavi Patya. Sprishtvat Chatur Mukutokoti Birangri Yugmam. Natva Madashu Shujalai Rakrita Bishekam. Drishvatarene Jidara Tavavatirya. Prithivyang Vapukanaka Dandam Eva Vipetya. Svishchal Matur Mukutakoti Virangri Yugmam. Natva Madashu Shujalai Rangrita Bishekam. Drishvata Reina Nijadara Natovatirya. Prithivyang Vapuka Nakadandam Eva Vipatya. Trishvachatur Mukutakotu Virangri Yugmam. Natva Madashu Shujalai Rabrika Vishekam. Vishvatvarena Nijadara Dadavatirya Prithivyang Vapuka Nakadanda Midavivadya Svishvat Chatur Mukutakoti Biyangri Yugmam Natva Madashu Shijala Radita Bikekam Vishvatva Raina Nijadar Natava Vatirya Prithivyang Vapuka Nakadandam Iva Vipadya Svishva Chatur Mukutakoti Biyangri Yugmam Nadva Madashu Shilalai Rakita Bhishekam. Ladies. Svatvarena Nijadara Tenavatirya Prithivyang Vapuka Nakadanna Mivavipadya Svishvat Chatur Mukutakoti Biyangra Yugmam Natva Madashu Chijalai Rarikta Bishekam Drishvat Varena Nijadar Natavavatirya Prityang Vapuka Nakadanna Vivavipadya Svishvat Chatur Mukutakoti Tiyangri Yugmam Nadva Madashu Shijalai Rarita Bishekam Drishva. After seeing Tvavrena with great speed, hastily, Nijadaranata, from his swan carrier, Avatirya, descended Prithivyam on the ground, Vapu, his body, Kanakadandamiva, like a golden rod, Abhipatya, fell down, Sprishtva, touching Chatumukhatakotibi with the tips of his four crowns, Angriyugmam, the two lotus feet, Natva, making obeisances, but Ashrasujalai, with the water of his tears of joy, Akrita, performed Abhishekam, the ceremony of bathing his lotus feet. Translation and purport by His Divine Grace, Srila Prabhupada. After seeing this, Lord Brahma hastily got down from his swan carrier, fell down like a golden rod, and touched the lotus feet of Lord Krishna with the tips of the four crowns on his heads. Offering his obeisances, he bathed the feet of Krishna with the water of his tears of joy. Purport. Lord Brahma bowed down like a stick, and because Lord Brahma's complexion is golden, he appeared to be like a golden stick lying down before Lord Krishna. When one falls down before a superior just like a stick, one's offering of obeisances is called dandavat. Danda means stick and vat means like. It is not that one should simply say dandavat. Rather, one must fall down. Thus, Brahma fell down, touching his foreheads to the lotus feet of Krishna, and his crying in ecstasy is to be regarded as an abhishek, bathing ceremony of Krishna's lotus feet. He who appeared before Brahma as a human child was in fact the absolute truth, Parabrahman, Rameti Paramatmeti Bhagavan Iti Shabjate. The Supreme Lord is Narakriti, that is, he resembles a human being. It is not that he is four-armed, Chaturbahu. Narayan is Chaturbahu, but the Supreme Person resembles a human being. This is also confirmed in the Bible, where it is said that man was made in the image of God. Lord Brahma saw that Krishna, in his form as a cowherd boy, was Parabrahman, the root cause of everything, but was now appearing as a human child loitering in Vrindavan with a morsel of food in his hand. Astonished, Lord Brahma hastily got down from his swan carrier and let his body fall to the earth. Usually the demigods never touch the ground, but Lord Brahma, voluntarily giving up his prestige as a demigod, bowed down on the ground before Krishna. Although Brahma has one head in each direction, he voluntarily brought all his heads to the ground and touched Krishna's feet with the tips of his four helmets. Although his intelligence works in every direction, he surrendered everything before the boy, Krishna. It is mentioned that Brahma washed the feet of Krishna with his tears, and here the word sujalai indicates that his tears were purified. As soon as bhakti is present, everything is purified, sarvapadivanir muktam. Therefore, Brahma's crying was a form of bhakti-anubhava, a transformation of transcendental, ecstatic love. Vandeham. Shri Guru, Shri Jata Dada Kamala, Shri Guru Vaishnavamscha, Shri Rupa, Sagra Jata, Sahagana Raghana Tanvita. Sajiva Sadaita Savaduta Parijana Saitam Krishna Chaitanya Deva Shri Radha Krishna Padan Sahagana Lalita Shri Vishakonvitamscha. Nama Om Vishnu Padaya Krishna Prestaya Bhutale Shrimate Bhakti Vedanta Swaminiti Namine. Namaste Sarasvate Deve Gauravani Pracharine Nirvishesha Shunyavadi Paschatya Deshatarine. So, Srila Prabhupada makes very, very nice points. Many, many nice points. One point is, you shouldn't just say, Dandavad. You should make Dandavad, you see. We have a tendency to abbreviate Krishna consciousness. Shortcut, you see. Yes, we have a... thank you very much. We have a tendency to abbreviate Krishna consciousness, to shortcut it. Just like sometimes we hear, instead of the four regulative principles, we hear about the four regs, you see. Isn't it? I've heard many times in ISKCON, the four regs. So, it's not as reverential. It's cheapening it, you see. Just say, Dandavat, but not actually offering Dandavat. You see, it's cheapening it, abbreviating it, shortcutting it. I know sometimes, like in Vrindavan, devotees will come and we're walking, I just, you know, fold my palms and bow my head. And they reciprocate by putting their hand on their chest, like that, you see. They won't even bow their head and put their palms together. The shortcut is like that, you know. So, this is, we're actually cheating ourselves when we shortcut the process, cheating ourselves big time. We have to take this process very, very seriously. It's not some joke. It's a very serious process. The time of death, it's a very serious thing. How much have you cultivated that mood of pure bhakti within your heart? You see? Taking it very, very seriously. You say, well, come on, don't be so serious. We got to, you know, we got to have some laughs and some jokes. But I can tell you this right now. The more you take it seriously, the more transcendental your jokes will be. Prabhupada had the best jokes, you see. So the more you take it seriously, when you do joke, it'll be very transcendental jokes, very, very transcendental jokes. So don't be afraid to take it too seriously, to get down and off your dandavat and just saying, instead of just saying dandavat, you see, don't be afraid to take it seriously. Even if some devotees may think, oh, he's such a fanatic, and he actually bows down, you know. Don't be worried if they think you're a fanatic. You know. The more you take this process seriously, the more Krishna becomes manifest. Krishna is actually already there, but we can't see him because we're so blinded by lust, anger, greed, madness, illusion, and envy. Krishna is already present. Remember when I was there standing beside Prabhupada in Atlanta? It was so wonderful. He came to Atlanta. There's like 300 devotees there. It was an incredible festival. Prabhupada looked down at the big Gaurantai deities and he said, Lord Chaitanya and Lord Nityananda have appeared in Atlanta. And he was looking at them. He was saying, Lord Chaitanya and Lord Nityananda. I was just seeing some deities down there, you see. I could understand what is my position. I'm a fallen soul covered by lust, anger, greed, madness, illusion, and envy. Prabhupada is seeing actually Lord Chaitanya and Lord Nityananda. I'm just seeing some deities standing there, you see. So we really need to, you know, get serious about Krishna consciousness. Very, very serious. If we're actually going to follow Prabhupada's order, he said, become guru and deliver the whole world. Well, I got to deliver myself. How we can live with the world if we can't even live with ourselves? You see, we're still hovering on the mental platform. Prabhupada personally wrote me a letter. He said, now you just become qualified to see Krishna face to face. Well, I haven't made it yet. That means I'm still a nonsense, you see. Prabhupada said, Krishna reveals himself. He doesn't reveal himself to the nonsense. So I can understand, I'm a nonsense. I haven't followed Prabhupada's order to qualify myself to see Krishna face to face. So I have to be a little humble. I should be very humble, you see, realizing what is my fallen position. I'm not able to see Krishna. I'm just seeing the material energy out there. I'm seeing everything in relation to how I can enjoy it instead of how Krishna can enjoy it, you see. This is our disease. Another interesting point is, Lord Brahma, with his four heads, he touched all of them to Krishna's lotus feet. And these heads, they face in the four directions. mean, I can understand, you know, the head going this way, the head going to the right and left could kind of, you know, turn in and touch the lotus feet. But just imagine a head in the back. Can you imagine turning your head 180 degrees? I mean, we can't do that. We'll break our neck. Ramayana can turn his head 180 degrees. That's pretty amazing. You see? Wow, 180 degree turn of the head. I can go maybe, you know, 150 degrees and really push it, you know. But 180 degrees? Wow, that's pretty awesome neck turning that Brahma can do. I don't think any of us can do 180 degree in neck turn, you see. So that's another interesting point here. And today's verse for a part. It's also very awesome to consider the, you know, the transformation that Lord Brahma went through, and actually realizing that this is God. Came to that realization, this is God Himself. Sometimes the fools and rascals say that God cannot appear as a human being. It's not possible. Human being cannot be God because God cannot appear as a human being. So who's telling God what he can do and what he cannot do, you see? These rascals, they say, God cannot do this. Are you the authority to tell God what he can do and what he cannot do, you see? So this sort of nonsense is going on amongst the so-called mental speculators. They think they can tell Krishna what he can do and what he cannot do. This is the whole disease that brought us here to begin with, this kind of mentality. So we really need to get back to who we really are. You know, Krishna consciousness really is being natural. That's what it really boils down to, just being yourself. That's what it really boils down to. Being a devotee means being yourself. That's what it really means, you see. Trouble is we've grown up in a culture where from the very birth we're taught to identify as the artificial self, namely the body. We take the body to be the self. This is completely, totally artificial. What's the first thing you hear when you come out of the womb? Oh, it's a boy, it's a girl. Immediately, bodily identification. We're programmed with bodily consciousness as soon as we come out of the womb. Even within the womb, they do some test, and they're saying, oh, it's a boy or a girl, and you see. So this artificial consciousness, this artificial conception of the self has been programmed into every human being on this planet. The dog thinks he's a dog. That's dog mentality. So if we think I'm the body, we're simply dogs. That's all. Doggish mentality. The animal thinks he's that body. If a human thinks that he's that body, he's simply animal, that's all. It's such a grotesque cheating of ourselves. Here we are, eternal living entities, full of bliss, unlimited knowledge, unlimited bliss. We're just, you know, tasting. Our natural condition is to taste unlimited nectar at every minute. And here we are suffering like anything in the cycle of birth and death. We're so foolishly cheating ourselves out of what we could actually be relishing at every minute. We're actually associates of Krishna. We are not citizens of this material world. We are citizens of Krishna's transcendental abode. We have, each one of us has some kind of an intimate, loving relationship with Krishna. So what are we doing here? It's absolutely insane for us to be here right now, trying to enjoy separately from Krishna. Absolutely insane. So we need great acharyas like His Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Tridandi Goswami Maharaj Prabhupada, to pull us out of this insanity and bring us back to our actual natural consciousness, Krishna consciousness. How much indebted we are to Prabhupada, we can't even fathom how much we're indebted to Srila Prabhupada. We can't even begin to fathom how much we're indebted to Him. Someday we will fully realize. When we are resituated in the spiritual world, in our original loving relationship with Krishna, then we will be able to fully understand and fathom the great kindness and loving mercy of this great, great Acharya. This very much, very powerful Acharya, empowered to deliver the whole world from the ignorance. Jagat Guru, spiritual master of the whole universe. You see, someday we will fully realize who is our beloved Srila Prabhupada. Someday we will fully realize. But every little realization we have now, we're making our baby steps closer and closer and closer. So every day we want to realize more and more what is the profundity of Prabhupada's teachings. What is the great mercy of his example, his association. I saw that movie last night. Oh, wow, so amazing. The Prabhupada Hare Krishna movie. Just sometimes we forget what Prabhupada went through. We take it for granted sometimes. How he had no facility, no money, no followers, old man's body, after a heart attack on the boat, two heart attacks. I mean, amazing austerities Prabhupada went through to bless us with Krishna consciousness. It's truly Krishna's miracle. Prabhupada told us in Atlanta, he said, he told the story of how, of his godbrother in preaching in the UK, that talking to Lord Zetland. Lord Zetland asked him, he said, can you make me a Brahmin? And Prabhupada's godbrother said, yes, I can make you a Brahmin, provided you follow these rules. No illicit sex, no meat eating, no intoxication, no gambling. To which Lord Zetland immediately replied, impossible. So Prabhupada told us that day in Atlanta, he said, I was thinking, as soon as I tell them, no illicit sex, no meat eating, no intoxication, no gambling, they immediately say, Swamiji, please go home. But then Prabhupada said, but I thought, let me try. When I heard that, I just spontaneously said, Jai, because I knew that was how we were saved. And then every devotees thought it was a good jai, and everyone jaied. I said jai, and the whole temple room erupted in a huge jai after that, because it was because Prabhupada's willing to take what appeared to be impossible in the order of his spiritual master. That's how we were saved, you see. He thought it was impossible that he could actually be successful here. But he did it anyway. He made that endeavor, and Krishna blessed him. Of course, there's a famous quote here in L.A., impossible is a word in a fool's dictionary. So we should kick that word out of our dictionaries, you see. Impossible. Prabhupada told us right here in L.A., deliver the whole world. So, you know, oh, Prabhupada, that's impossible. We can't do that. Well, we should make the endeavor at least. Should make that endeavor to deliver the world. Prabhupada describes this way in his prayer book. He says, a Krishna-conscious being, well, is that supposed to be us? Are we supposed to be Krishna-conscious beings or not? We're ISKCONers, right? We're supposed to be Krishna. ISKCONers are supposed to be ISKCONites. We're supposed to be Krishna-conscious, isn't it? The Society for Krishna-Consciousness. So are the members supposed to be Krishna-conscious? No answer? Yes or no? Yeah, we're supposed to be Krishna-conscious. Okay, we're card-carrying members of ISKCON, right? Krishna conscious. So Prabhupada describes what is the mentality of someone who is actually Krishna conscious in his Bhagavatam purport. And we can see how close or far away we are from the mark. He says, a Krishna conscious being is always planning how to deliver the entire suffering humanity back to home, back to Godhead. Even if he's not successful in doing so, his perfection is guaranteed, and anyone who follows him will also become perfect. So that should be our meditation, Prabhus and Matajis and Maharajas, or Maharaj singular today. We should be thinking, how can I live my life in such a way to promote a spiritual revolution on this planet? How can my every thought, my every word, my every deed, in all times, places, and circumstances, be truly revolutionary. You see? I may not pull off a world revolution, but at least I'll be Krishna conscious, you see. And anybody, and I might make a few devotees along the way, you see. But that's the meditation of someone who's actually Krishna conscious. He's living his life in such a way to make the whole world Krishna conscious. He cannot tolerate to see people in illusion. He cannot tolerate to see people who are caught up in the modes of material nature. It's like a knife going through his heart to see these people like this, you see. You can't tolerate it. So, even though we may not have such compassion, we have to pray for such compassion. We have to sincerely endeavor for such compassion. I know of all the letters that I got from Prabhupada, the one where he expressed the most pleasure with me. Of course, there was sometimes displeasure as well. That's another story. Sometimes I got chastised by Prabhupada. That's mercy too. But the one letter when he really expressed the most pleasure in me was, I joined there in Austin. Vishnujan Swami had been ordered to open 10 temples, and he opened Austin as his second temple. Houston was number one, Austin was number two. So in my initiation letter, Prabhupada said, make our Austin center a grand success. And then Vishnujan Swami went on to open the third temple in San Antonio, and then our temple president said, well, I think we're going to close the temple. I went, what? How you can close the temple? And Prabhupada told me, I have to make it a grand success. If there is no Austin temple, how can I follow Prabhupada's order to make it a success? And I was really bewildered. Oh, my goodness. So I wrote Prabhupada to try to say, Prabhupada, I don't think we should close this temple, because the people here desperately need Krishna consciousness. Prabhupada is very pleased with that attitude. The temple president was a little fried with me, of course, but he got chastised by Prabhupada. But Prabhupada was so pleased that I wanted to stay in Austin because the people desperately need Krishna consciousness, you see. That I cared about their desperate need for Krishna consciousness. Prabhupada was very, very pleased with them. So we have to see these poor souls out here. They may appear to be enjoying in their sports cars and their young, healthy bodies and their sunglasses and whatever, you know, is going on. They may appear to be enjoying, but actually they all desperately need Krishna consciousness. Desperately. They're going down to the animal kingdom in their next birth. They desperately need this. Somehow convince them to take a book. Somehow convince them to come to the temple. Somehow convince them to chant japa. Somehow convince these people to take up Krishna consciousness, you see. This is absolutely essential. Our hearts have to bleed to see these people who are suffering like anything. So we have a few minutes left for questions. I can try to answer some questions. Is there any questions from y'all? As we say in Texas. Here's a question. Speak up, I'm a little on the deaf side. Quite deaf, actually. Turn up my amp on the hearing aid here.
Jay Shankarshan, amazing class. So many wonderful points. So many relevant points that you made. And one of those points was that Srila Prabhupada was so determined to follow the order of his spiritual master.
Yeah.
When I saw at the Prabhupada festival, Yadubar showed that one clip of the film where Srila Prabhupada was alone in New York. You know, nothing was happening, and it went on like that for 10 months. If you analyze it, like from and he arrived in like September of 65, and ISKCON was started like in July of 1966. Yeah. So, and when he met Mukunda Martin, Mukunda and those other devotees, that may have been like a month or so earlier than that. But before that time, he was completely alone, and it appeared that nothing was happening. So if you can imagine,
his things were stolen in that one office. I mean, that was negative. It was like he was going in the opposite direction. His things got stolen. It was a very heavy thing.
Yeah, and that the movie portrayed that also, how discouraged.
So is there any question, or do you just like to share your realization?
No, I'm just sharing that realization Srila Prabhupada, he was so determined that even though nothing was happening for such a long time, he persevered, and then Krishna saw, hey, this person is serious, and then he gave him everything.
Yeah. So we have acharya means by his every word, by his every action, he's teaching us. So we have to very deeply meditate upon and try to follow that mood of our beloved Srila Prabhupada. You see, even if I'm on the verge of death, doesn't matter. We have to always persevere in that mood of wanting to give Krishna, give Krishna, give Krishna. The secret of success is the more you give Krishna, the more you get Krishna. So Krishna wants to see who is very eager to give me to the fallen souls of this world. That's where Krishna would really shower his mercy. You see, who is very, very eager to give me to the fallen souls of this world. You see, the more we have that eagerness to preach, to spread Krishna consciousness, the more Krishna will shower that mercy upon us. As Prabhupada said in one letter, like torrents of rain in the monsoon season of India. So we have to have that, turn on the world consciousness.
Yes, thank you.
To turn the whole world on to Krishna ki jai, you see. It will happen in due course. Such janda jur janda pandu jadda anagana prema vanyayala duvabhaila jagatada janda. In somewhere within this 10,000 year period, there's a 10,000 year period Prabhupada told us about, a golden era of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Somewhere within this 10,000 year period, the whole world will become Krishna conscious, as confirmed by Krishna Das Kaviraj. When's that going to happen? It could be 5,000 years from now before it really, fully manifests. Or it could be 500 years from now, or 50 years from now, or 5 years from now. You see? We have to try our best to make that golden era become fully manifest as soon as possible. And even if it doesn't, we're living in the golden era just by trying to manifest the golden era on this planet. We're already living in the golden era, you see. It's like the Prabhupada festival sign. We're always living in a Prabhupada festival, you see. The Prabhupada festival means Chaitanya's golden era. We can live in it. If we're trying to Krishnize this world, at least we will be living in a Krishna conscious atmosphere at every minute. If we always have that sankirtan mood of spreading Krishna consciousness, then we'll always be living in the Vaikuntha atmosphere ourselves. So it looks like our time is questioned, yes.
How can one cultivate that eagerness to go out and spread this Krishna consciousness to the others? Because many of the times I'm feeling, maybe I should just stay in the temple longer time and taking more rest or taking a little bit more prasadam like that. So how can one cultivate that eagerness to go out?
Yeah. Prabhupada told me one time, very nice instruction, he said, continue enthusiastically as you were doing, and surely Krishna will bless you. It's the insider's secret. One who has that enthusiasm to give Krishna to others, he gets special mercy from Krishna. See, Maya is trying to hold us back. I don't want to go out. I just want to sit here. Maybe I can do a little reading, take a little nap, have some prasadam. I don't want to go out and face all this negativity, you see. But the thing is, as Mama told me, that's how you get Krishna's blessings. That enthusiasm to give Krishna to others, it's intoxicating. You say, well, I don't really believe it. I think it's just the hype of the Sankirtan leader. No, it's a fact. It's a scientific fact. Those who are eager to Krishna become intoxicated with Krishna. So just, if you don't, here's a real cool trip. It's a trick for the mind and a tip for the intelligence. Beg Krishna to help you. My dear Lord, I know I should be eager to give your mercy to the fallen souls of this planet, but there's so much negativity. I don't know how to deal with it. I'm discouraged by it. So I'm begging you, please help me. Please help me to develop that eagerness, the enthusiasm, the desire, the determination to preach Krishna consciousness. Please help me. Please. I'm just like a Kanishta Adhikari. I'm not in the mood of preaching. I'm not like a Majjhim Bhakta. I'm a Kanishta mentality. Please help me overcome this nonsense Kanishta mentality and fully embrace the mood of a Majjhim Adhikari if you're preaching Krishna consciousness. Just beg Krishna to help you. Just beg him, beg him. Krishna, please help me. I'm suffering in this damn Kanishta mentality. Please help me get out of this and develop that eagerness to make the world Krishna conscious. You see? If you pray like that, Krishna will be so pleased and will shower the mercy on you. You see? Prayers work. Krishna isn't deaf like me. You see? Krishna can hear every single word that we pray to him. Every single word we pray to Krishna. So prayer is a very powerful thing. I recommend prayer. Prayer is fantastic. You see, devotees who have developed the art of praying, they can be Krishna conscious at every minute in every situation because they know how to connect with Krishna. Prayer is a very powerful tool that you can use to conquer that rascal called the mind. Mano retainer, you're bringing me down. You see. Take shelter of this process of begging Krishna, begging Krishna, begging Krishna, begging Krishna, begging Krishna. You see? That's how you can easily conquer over this tendency, Kanishta, this nonsense, damn Kanishta mentality can be easily conquered by sincere prayer. Jai. So
thank you very much for
coming. Srila Prabhupada ki jai. Hey Krishna. Oh, okay, great.
So, excuse me, like I said, I'm bending my. I don't know if you want part two.
It's yours if you want it.
All right, I'll do part two.
Okay.
One charge of seven.